Gracious and mighty God, we ask you to lead us in our thinking as we seek to concentrate upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a deacon one time tell me, he said, "Pastor, preach it again." You know, we as Baptists like to refer to ourselves as the people of the book, do we not? Now, which book are we speaking of? The Bible. That's what we speak about. Now, the big question is it really our book? That's the question. That's the question. That's what I want us to think about this morning. Is it really your book, my book, as a follower of Christ? You see, we pride ourselves as being people who follow the book, the Bible. We declare that the Bible is our guide to personal life and also to our church life. You see, it is set forth as in our bylaws, right here in the Constitution and bylaws of First Baptist Church, Rockland, that the Bible is our guide to doctrine, to belief, and also to the administration and our mission as a church. It's set forth. As a matter of fact, we proudly, ever since, like she just mentioned, the days of Vacation Bible School, like to sing the words of the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book. Is it? That's what we sing. And see, that's what we want to be, is it not? That the Bible really is our book. Our book. You see, that's quite a declaration, isn't it? To say that the Bible really is our book. Why do we make such a declaration? You ever think about it? Why do we make such a declaration as Baptists? Why do we make such a declaration? Well, it is because the Bible is the very Word of God. It is the very Word of God, and all of it. Not part of it, but all of it. We read in the Scripture, all Scripture is inspired by God, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, which the pastor just read. All Scripture, not part of it, but all of it. See, and then these words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter, he says, But know this first of all. Know this. He said that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Spoke from God. Now we, according to our studies, have found that these men amounted to about 40 people on three different continents over a period of about 1,500 years penned these words that we find recorded in the Bible. And these express and are the inspired expression of the truth of God and of His character. Who He is, what He is, and what He means to us. See, the Bible does not merely just contain the Word of God, as some would have us believe. But folks, it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Not just contains it, but rather is the Word of God to us. See, the Bible reveals what we need to know about God. It also reveals to us how we're to live for Him and how we're to come to know Him and relate to Him personally. That's what the Bible tells us. How we may relate to this God who is truly the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the wonderful Counselor. How in the world, unless we know from the book how to relate to Him, to relate to Him. You see, these verses that the pastor just read reveal to us that the Word is sufficient. Sufficient. Listen as I read again from these words in 2 Timothy. He says, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned." And he says, "And become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from a childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God," is there any here? How about women of God? Are there any here? Well, listen to what it says. It says that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, which includes Saturday night gathering in. Right, Camille? Good works. Good works. Listen, we believers make up the church, don't we? Do we make up the church? And if we make up the church, and it says here that we are to be equipped, trained, ready for good works, then that means that all of us who name the name of Jesus are to do that. And the question, I guess, that Pastor Steve every once in a while asks himself, and I certainly know that most pastors ask it, most Christians, when will the Bible truly become the adequate, equipping, unifying, motivating source of our personal and our church life? When do you think that's going to happen? Well, I believe it's going to take a revival. I really do. I think it's going to take a revival. A revival of reading and studying the Word of God. Until we begin to read it and study it and seek to live out the truths, it'll still just be a book. Just a book. You see, we sing and we say, "I stand alone on the Word of God. I stand alone on the Word of God." And listen, we should be singing that and we should be saying that. But can you say along with King David, that your testimony, speaking of God, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Not the psychic, not the psychiatrist, but your word. Can you honestly say along with the psalmist who wrote, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path"? Can you honestly say also along with the psalmist, "Thy word have I hid or treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you"? Can you say that? Can you say, "That I want every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart to be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer"? You see, it is in the Bible that we begin to understand the importance of being able to do that. And then the question is, do you long to be like the Lord Jesus, who, when he was tempted, was able to quote a scripture verse and send the devil on his way? Would you like to be able to do that? Did you know that you can't? That's right. You have that same ability. As a matter of fact, didn't Jesus say that you can do even greater things than me? You see, if we begin to understand, read our Bible, and obey it, you will be able to also say to the devil, "Get away." If you read it with this prayer in your heart, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart. That's what we have to do. You see, when we pick this book up, we realize this is God's Word. We're God's children, and God wants to talk to us. So let's just say, speak to my heart. Yielded and still, seeking your will. Speak to my heart. You see, we must read the Bible seeking the will and the purpose of God. That's the only way that we're ever going to discover what His purpose is for us individually and also as a church family. You see, the danger for many Christians today, and I believe many churches, is the same danger that faced the people of Israel, and it's recorded for us in the very last verse of the book of Judges. Many of you know that. It is simply these words, that in those days there was no king in the land. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Pastor, how often do you hear that same thing? In my opinion, it's okay. This is the right way. Listen, we have a king, do we not? Do we have a king? Yes, we have a king if we're Christian, because the Bible teaches that Jesus is the King of kings, right? Therefore, we have a king. Jesus is our king. However, because we fail to read and study the Bible, which truly is His word to us, we live by our own personal rules and interpretation. And you know what? We're separated also by these opinions, rather than united upon His will, His purpose. Jesus is King. Not you and not me. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King. And He is to have rule and reign over our personal lives and our church life. We discover that plan and purpose as we read the Bible. Have you noticed I keep emphasizing read? It's important that we understand it's reading, and then we'll begin to understand God's plan. We discover His purpose as we read. Listen to these words of the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples. He said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Do you realize this should be our prayer as well? This should be our prayer so that His kingdom become the priority of our lives personally, individually. That is His kingdom. What Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And those things that we're all chasing after, that we think we need so desperately, He said would be added unto us. See, to understand God's plan and purpose set forth in the Bible, we must, I'm going to say it again, read it. Read it. There's no other way. You can't read about it. You've got to read it. And read it prayerfully, depending upon the Holy Spirit to lead you in understanding the truth. This is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John 16, 13, and 14. He said, "But when He," that is the Spirit of truth, "come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you." And how does He do it? Through His Word. Through His Word. You see, as we open the Bible, immediately we find the story of creation, do we not? God's creation. And then we read the story about Abraham and his call and the people of Israel. And in the Bible, we discover the Ten Commandments, which we hear so much about. And also the Sermon on the Mount, which contains love others as we want to be treated or treat others. And we often say that's what we live by. But you know, it's in the Bible where we learn these things. And it's in the Bible that we find recorded for us our purpose, which is found in Matthew 28. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority is given me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the ages." And it's in the Bible that we discover how much God loves us. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Just to know that God loves you. And how much does he love you? This is what Paul tells us. "But God commendeth his love toward you, and me. In that while we were still sinners, sinking deep in the muck and mess we have made, he died to set us free." The Bible tells us this. The Bible tells us this. You see, I am a firm believer that there are many good books about the Bible. Many. As a matter of fact, I can say to you that you could read Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. And you can also read The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. But let me say this to you, quite frankly, that to experience God in all his fullness through Christ, you got to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible to discover your purpose in life and to be driven to do God's will. Folks, you have to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. See, as you read and study your Bible, you will be transformed. Literally, you'll be transformed. You see, you will become more and more like Christ and less like the person you used to be. More like the Jesus, more like the Lord we sing, is it not? We sing, "More like Jesus I long to ever be." Read your Bible. It'll happen. I promise you, it'll happen. You see, experiencing the amazing, redeeming love of God, you will begin singing, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." That's right, as you read your Bible. See, read your Bible. Let God's Word truly penetrate your heart. And then, the spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control will rule and reign in your heart. Rule and reign in your heart. And you know what? It'll be evident, just like Jesus said. He said, "If you love one another, even as I have loved you," he said, "men will know that you're my disciples." Listen to the value of God's word found in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, in verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden fault. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not rule over me. Then I shall be blameless and shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Isn't that the desire of your heart? Isn't that the desire of your heart, that it may be acceptable to him? Then read your Bible. Read your Bible. Build your life upon its truths. Remember this. Those who love thy word, speaking about God, God's word, have great peace and nothing. Did you hear that? And nothing causes them to stumble. Will you stand with me? And let's renew our commitment to read God's word. Read God's word. I'm going to stand over here to the side so you can see it. Let's say it together. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will treasure its words in my heart that I may not sin against God. I will read my Bible daily with an open and obedient heart. Oh God, we come into your presence aware that we need you. Lord, we need you just to help us to come to your word, that we might open it. And oh Lord, we need you to help us to depend upon you, to guide us to understanding it. And Jesus promised that if we would just seek your face, that your Spirit would guide us in all truths. Our Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your precious truths. Now, Lord, as we come to this time of commitment, may our hearts be warm toward you. In Jesus' name.